Live from the White Zone for immediate loading and unloading only, and brought to you by Continental Airlines. We really move our tail for you. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk. Sigh. Once again, sigh. I thought theme music was on the list of things to do this week.
It was, but as you know, StarCraft II came out.
I did not know that.
It did.
It did?
Yes.
Okay. Are you actually playing it, or are you just saying that it came out as an attempt to distract me from your epic fail in theme music?
I am actually playing it, which is why my eyes are so puffy.
Okay. Do they have Rangers?
No.
Oh, all right.
Well, maybe you could.
All right. Well, this isn't StarCraft II talk. This is
no, it's not.
So, Ali, first on our agenda, what have we been doing this past week or two in EQ2?
Well, a lot of stuff. I've been doing a lot. I don't know about you. Since the last show, I started and finished Epic Repercussions.
Woot. Congratulations.
Yay.
For taking so long, but
yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, it's a change of mind. Tinkerfest came out.
Tinklefest, my favorite event of the year.
And as we're speaking, it's still going.
Yes, it is. Have you completed all the quests?
As far as I know, I think there are some guide quests that are still out there, but I haven't run into any guides, so.
Damn you guides.
I'm thinking, since the other night, I think I need to start probably camping Steamfont before Tinkerfest goes away.
Are you actually, let me get this right. You're
really
actually
pathetic.
You're going to stand in a corner and every 16 minutes look to see if there's a guide or something that's popped.
Well, I did change my level 1 through 9 chat to bright pink so that I can see it more easily and maybe see if something's being announced.
Three letters. O-M-G.
You thought about it.
Okay, mine's in neon blue. Fine. You caught me.
Okay, see?
I didn't go pink.
Well, it's bright. I have to be able to see it. I don't want it to blend in with all the, auction stuff. And
the channel's so bright, you got to see guides. Okay, that was a bad pun.
Yeah, that was not good.
All right.
Sorry.
No problem. I was going to say, I have been working on the Druid Ring.
Yeah, me too.
Unrest is, all right, let's call it what it is. Unrest is a pile of slackers.
Basically. I believe we are the last. I heard from somebody the other day, we're the last regular U.S. server.
That is epically sad as well, yes.
And we're still not done. You checked the Stonebrunt ring right before we came on, right?
Yes, and we were at 40. Did I say 40? I don't even remember. 40.
You said 40. Mm-hmm.
I did. Okay. I wasn't lying.
Yeah, I'm starting to get nervous.
I'm not as nervous as I was, say, a week or two ago when we were still in Lavastorm, was it? No, not Lavastorm, excuse me, Skyfire. And we were at like 8% and it was like crawling. Wheels are in motion, things are happening. It looks like we're going to finish this before Game Update 57 hits. So I think that is a good thing for us. Yay, yes.
Yay, but we can't rest on our laurels. We have to keep going.
Yes.
Until it's done.
So I've been doing that, and a lot of that. I have stacks and stacks of those little florets. The other thing I've kind of been doing is running the hole quests. Nothing gets old, does it?
No.
The daily clickable quests that we can get, and I think you get like 500 faction with each of the NPC sets there. So I've been working on that, trying to get my faction up so I can unlock some of the other NPC quests down there in the hole. So over the past 2 weeks, I've been doing a lot of repeatables, lots of repeatable things.
Yeah. Druid Rings are repeatable. Tinkerfest is repeatable. Did you get everything title-wise that there is available in Tinkerfest?
Yes, I did. I got all my titles for, what's it, like the Exploder and the delivering of the the wine to all the places?
The Deliverator.
Is that really a word?
No, but it is now.
Okay. Can I give a quick shout out to a member of the team? I was doing the instance where you go the Gear Gobblers, you go down into their instance, and you're trying to find out why one of the clockworks is stealing everybody's tools and whatnot. And I have to say, I actually chuckled out loud when I read one of the NPC's text that they say while you're fighting them. And one of them says, there's no place like 127.0.0.1. I really chuckled at that because for folks who don't know IP networking, that IP address is also known as localhost or home. So there's no place like home. And I thought it was really cute. I liked it. I chuckled. I got a laugh out of it. So kudos to the team member who put that in.
Nerd humor. How awesome.
It was actually that. You are 100% correct. It was nerd humor at its finest. So next on our agenda, we have our regular section, our errata section, where we correct.
It's becoming regular, isn't it?
It's unfortunate that it is becoming regular, far too regular. I guess I screwed up last week.
You did. You screwed up, of all things, your email address. I think that must mean you don't want people to send you mail.
That might be possible. I think I said it was eqtalk.com, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And it's really eq2talk.com. I guess I was just rattling, shooting from the hip, pew, 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 and I screwed up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Allie. I'm only a dwarf.
Well, the funny thing is, I knew it when it happened, but I'd already corrected you about something else, and I didn't want to come off as the jerk, so I just let it go. I figured
dag. You're wrong. That's fine.
I figured
fine.
People would figure it out.
I get enough of that at work and at home, how wrong I am. So I think that was the only thing we did that we screwed up on last week.
That, to our knowledge, yeah.
To our knowledge. I'm sure if something else went wrong, like us saying that nothing else went wrong, people let us know. We did get some listener feedback over the past week or so.
We've gotten quite a bit, actually.
All right. What did we got a couple of emails and a few folks approached us in-game, I think.
Yeah. Well, how many people approached you, Del?
Well,
I'm sure you have more fans.
We like to keep the podcast PG-13, so I can't share all the tells that all the lovely ladies of NORAD send me. Oh, yeah. That's right. You know who you are, and you know who you're talking to. Keep them coming, and I'll keep sending you the checks. All right, so we had somebody over there on Luke and Delair, the evil roleplay.
Yes, I got a mysterious tell from Spiders over at Luke and Delair with the ranger joke.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought I'd share.
All right.
Why did the ranger cross the road?
I don't know, Allie. Why did the ranger cross the road?
I actually thought about it for a while. And I finally had to say, I don't know, do tell. Why did the ranger cross the road? To fetch her arrow, she's too cheap to buy a second one.
I can see that if it was about me. Certainly I would cross the road to gather any arrow back, which is probably why I've never... I don't play a ranger because arrows cost money, don't they?
They do, unless you have a woodworker, but then you still have to pay for fuel. But my response was sort of a question mark over my head, and then I decided to just leave it alone. But I don't think she's too cheap to buy a second one. I'd say she's too broke to buy a second one from spending all her money on poisons.
Oh, poor DPS. Has to spend money. Oh.
No, Del, you don't know anything about DPS. We're the only class that has to pay for our DPS.
Hold on, I have the world's smallest violin out there somewhere. Let me start playing that for you.
All right, okay.
Haha. We got a couple emails, too.
Yes.
Did you want to read one, or...
Sure.
Okay.
We have a nice little email here from Indebuff of the Nectalis server.
That's really the name, Indebuff?
Indebuff. I thought that was very, very awesome. Cute.
Yes.
I was hoping it would be a troubadour or something, but I did look this person up, and it's a warden.
Way to go, stalking the listeners.
I'm sorry. Is that stalky?
I don't know.
Was that creepy?
A little. Just a wee bit.
Sorry. Okay, I'll try to be less creepy next time. All right. This was actually sent to Del. Hi, guys. I wrote to Delmon because his name was easier. I don't know what to say to that. I listened to your podcast today and had a couple of things to say. First off, the podcasts are great for when you're doing some farming to help pass the time. You talked a bit about the new player experience. Well, I am a new player. Hubby and I have been playing for about 7 months or so. Have to say, love the game. Listening to you guys talk about how navigating through Tamoris or Nariak, I had to laugh a bit. So that's part of the new player experience. When you're new to an area, it feels uncomfortable. You stumble a lot getting around, and then you slowly get the feel of it. You may also find little bits of the game you didn't know were there. Maybe something to see you hadn't seen before. So get out of that comfort zone and venture to the cities that you don't know very well. There may be just a touch of that new experience out there. That being said, I really do not understand taking out content. Talking about Freeport, the Freeport Kinos thing. Unless there's something planned in the future for Common Lands and Antonica, it does not make a whole lot of sense to remove that content. These two zones will be pretty much dead areas now in game for new players. I agree, a suggestion could have been added to the creation screen suggesting certain areas for new players. Anyway, that's my two cents. Have not made up my mind about your podcast yet, but still plan on listening. Smiley face. Signed, Indebuff.
Well, I think Indebuff makes a couple of great points about the removal of the content. I think that's something we discussed in one of the previous shows about the removal of the newbie islands. Yeah.
Right.
And it is a shame that some of that stuff's gone. I have to say, let me just share this quickly. I saw on the forums somebody had a signature, and it had a picture of the Darathar dragon from in-game. Yeah. And in the thought bubble above his head, it said, wasn't there? I think I remember an island. But I got a little kick out of that. So I think as long-term players like we, like ourselves, Ellie, that we kind of do miss that newbie isle experience. Removing of content sometimes can be difficult to adjust to. And it is sometimes a shame that they spend all this time and effort in creating this content and then decide later, that's not what we wanted, and take it out altogether. So it would have been nice if there was still a choice of whether or not to go back and do the newbie islands again still.
But this listener actually makes a really good point about our experience being, you know, we are sort of in our comfort zone. I mean, I find that a lot in what I do. As I'm going through playing alts, I don't start in those other cities because I'm not familiar with them. I really think that's a good point. And we sort of touched on that a little bit, maybe admitting a little bit that it might be our perception. Because I think there are, if we took a poll, we might find more people like those zones than we realize. Or are perfectly happy with them, or perfectly comfortable.
Absolutely, I agree. It is that comfort factor. I know Kinos like the back of my hand. I don't know Gorwin, so when I do play my troubadour, who is based out of Gorwin, I know where half a dozen things are that he really needs. Unlike Kinos, where I know where everything is, and I've been there so many times and been through it. You become attached to that, and I don't know if it's necessarily better. It's just like you say, it's what we're used to and what we're most familiar with. When I need to get to a Mender, I know exactly where they all are. In Kinos, it takes me 10 seconds to get there. When I have to do it in Gorwin, I got to go, oh, wait a minute, where was he? Or I got to ask an NPC for directions. So it's taking us out of that comfort factor that I think makes us uncomfortable, I guess.
Right. It's sort of like the little blanket you used to carry around as a kid.
Used to carry around?
You still carry one, Del?
I will not answer that.
Just a little 1x1 square by now.
That's all that's left.
Washed so many times.
That's all that's left.
The tag.
the please don't remove this tag. Yes. That's all that's left. So we did have one other email as well. Oh, I want to say one more thing. I hope that Indebuff does decide to stick with us.
I do too. And I want to say thank you for emailing us. And I'm glad that you got Delmon's name, even though he gave the wrong email address.
You gotta admit, though, it is easier to spell.
Well, we could always give me an abbreviated email address.
Yeah, that's unstandard. We don't support that functionality.
But you can always click on our email addresses from the website.
And that's right, too. I'm only giving you a hard time, Allie. That's our standard help desk response. We don't support that functionality.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, so we did have one other email, and that was from Belle from... He or she didn't mention what server.
Everfrost.
Oh, he does. It's right here on the line one, huh? Everfrost. I gotta learn to read these before I start talking, huh? All right, so here we go. Hi, Adele. Baloo here from the Everfrost server. You might remember me from such podcast audiences as EQ Tuesday. I've been checking out the new podcast, and as a somewhat hardcore player, I have to say I'm pretty excited. It's cool that you and Allie are both on the same server. I look forward to talk of fanatical camping of gray mods for achievement points, come on achievement leaderboards, and maybe even seeing what you and Allie can pull off as a duo. It's so much fun, in my opinion, to stretch one's ability in-game and solo or duo heroic content or even last tier's epic content. You and Allie might, and probably already do, have fun seeing what you can pull off as a duo in the name of achievement points, maxing things out, and moving the faction bars all the way to the right, and leaderboard glory, and plat and shinies. And of course, what your raid forces can accomplish as a larger team, and all the fun and hard work and Mayong moments that can go along with that. On the subject of theme music, I can't speak for everyone, but I like to have my library of podcasts on shuffle and play while I'm working, playing EQ2, or even a siesta. So in my opinion, the less obnoxious the theme music, the better. With the old show, I would constantly have to jump up and hit next so I didn't have to hear that obnoxious loud song for the 500th time. Personally, I would be happiest with no theme music at all, but if you have to have some, please try and make it low volume and unobnoxious. A View from the Top, another good MMO podcast, has done the theme music quite well, in my opinion, and if you want to check that out for inspiration. Anyways, best of luck with the new show. Looking forward to hearing more EQ2 talk. Signed, Bell.
A lot of good stuff in there.
Absolutely. Obviously, Allie, he is giving his thoughts on what you need to do about theme music.
Hey, you know what? If they just quit coming out with awesome games to distract me, and, you know, Tinkerfest and all this other stuff going on, I might get around to it.
Absolutely. So we are... If folks haven't figured it out yet, we've been varying the themes a little bit thus far, trying to find one that fits for us. And Allie's working on it, too.
Do you really think anybody takes this seriously?
I certainly hope not. I certainly hope not.
Just so you know, we really don't have a sponsor. That's fake.
Really? Continental didn't send us a check this month? Oh, boy.
I'm still waiting for it.
But I am enjoying those muffins from episode one. Duncan Hines muffins.
I'm sure you are.
But Belle makes a good comment about achievement point leaderboards. I am very excited and hope someday that they get those in there. That is something I definitely think the game could use. And again, you know, we were talking about this, I think, in reference to the Druid Rings, that leaderboards are a great motivator of people. And, you know, make people want to come back and continue to do something and improve that replayability of something. If the more I do of it, the more I can, you know, get advertised for having done it or having a higher percentage or something like that. I think leaderboards are great for a game.
I don't want to sound like I know anything because I don't. But did you read the patch notes by chance?
I did not.
Well, maybe we don't want to get into this right now, but there was a little something about, maybe it wasn't the patch notes, maybe it was a producer letter. Something about modifying the welcome screen.
Ooh, and I've always thought that would be a great place for that sort of stuff.
Now, again, not that we know anything, but wouldn't that be cool if stuff like that was on there?
Absolutely. I think that would be a great thing. I think it's something that the game has been lacking in, and I hope to see that included someday.
Well, and it's good to see that they are... looking at that.
Absolutely. So thank you to Baloo from Everfrost for an email as well. Hope that you continue to listen to the podcast as well. And bear with us while we try to find that. What was it? Non-obnoxious theme music? low volume and volume and unobnoxious.
Is that possible?
Not while I'm around. Delmon, it's dwarven for obnoxious and loud. All right, moving to, I guess, our next topic is, it's kind of an untopic, but we want to kind of put it in here anyways. We know that certainly this past week there's been some pretty big announcements surrounding EverQuest 2, including EverQuest 2 Extended and the release of the Game Update 57 patch notes for test. And there's been a lot of hubbub about that on the forums and a lot of discussions. And what we wanted to say is we're going to wait a little bit before we really comment and formalize our opinions on those two topics just yet. I'm going to wait till maybe after Fanfare, hear what Sony has to say a little bit more about them. Maybe they'll give a better, you know, more in-depth explanation of what their goals are and how they're going to implement them. I certainly think, Ellie, would you agree that we've seen a lot of knee-jerk reaction to it initially?
Well, I haven't been reading the forums because there's enough drama going on elsewhere.
Okay.
But I have seen, basically, when it was announced, level chat was on fire.
Right.
My guild forums were on fire. And I don't know. I'm not, who am I to judge knee-jerk versus level-headed, but I think that with any changes, we as players have a tendency to imagine the worst case scenario without seeing necessarily how it's going to play out. So I think it's wise to wait a little bit to think about it.
Right. We want to not rush to judgment. And certainly we don't want to immediately grab our tinfoil hats out and put them on and start with all the crazy. So I think we're going to hold off a little bit, let it marinate a little bit, and then, you know, maybe during our next podcast, we'll be able to talk a little bit more in depth and a little bit more intelligently about what we think and where we see these two new features headed.
Right, and maybe by then the deer in the headlights look will have worn off of our faces.
Absolutely. Good analogy there. So our next topic was really the upcoming Fanfare, which is, from when we're recording now, less than a week away.
You're kidding.
No.
Did you pack yet?
Please, I'll be I think my flight's at 11. I'll be packing at 5 of.
Yeah, if I was going, I wouldn't be able to do this show today. Because I'd be shopping and I would be feverishly packing.
I have to admit, I do pack. Well, I pack like I am. I pack like a diva. So I'm going to show up with like about 20 suitcases and all that.
No.
I'm a horrible, horrible.
You're friend. High maintenance?
I am.
Delmon, is high maintenance?
When it comes to travel, absolutely.
I find that incredibly hard to believe.
Absolutely. I think my flight leaves like next Wednesday or Thursday. I'm like ready to leave for the airport Sunday to make sure I get there on time. I'm paranoid when it comes to airport and travel and all that sort of stuff. And it's not that I mind flying. You know, it doesn't bother me. It's just the whole rigmarole of getting to the airport, parking, getting into the terminal, standing in line, going through security, then going through the boarding process, sitting in a seat that's only designed for a person who has a 14-inch waist for 6 hours. It's just a miserable, miserable experience. So I'll be thankful when that part is over, but so I'm like anxious about travel, not just for flying, but for the whole event of, and it's a whole day event to get to the airport and whatnot. So,
yeah, it's so you're not a good traveler.
No, I'm not a good traveler at all. I'm a fine flyer. I just am not a good traveler.
I am actually a good traveler. I'm a terrible flyer.
Okay.
I enjoy traveling as long as it's not by air, or maybe I just need a stiff drink.
Even though I have to say we're being sponsored by Continental this week. I'm actually flying JetBlue, and I think they are a fantastic airline for the fact of individual TVs in every seat. Sitting there for as long as I have to, I think it's about a six-hour flight. Sitting there, the movies they show are horrible usually to begin with, but at your seat you have your own individual TV with your own headset. You can watch whatever you want. It's DirecTV. Anything to distract me from how long we have to sit there and be confined in this little tube for. Again, I just don't like it. It's a miserable experience.
What you should do is try to make the best of it.
I do.
You know, try and make it a positive experience.
Turn I do
to the guy next to you and see why they're going to Vegas.
No, people don't. No, nobody wants to talk to me on an airplane. They usually leave me alone, freak.
People don't want to talk to you on the way back from Vegas. Usually everyone's hungover.
That's true. I mean, plus, I'm going to admit, I'll be popping about a dozen tablets to knock me out. So if I'm asleep, that makes it even the 6 hours even go by faster.
Yeah, my preferred mode of travel is sleeping on an airplane.
So we were going to talk a little bit about our top tips, our best tips, I guess. I'm at a loss for words here, about fanfare for folks who maybe haven't been there before or even folks who are returning to fanfare. Good reminders and things like that as we get ready to head out to Las Vegas.
That sounds like fun.
All right. So, Allie, what was on your list of one of your
let's
best
start with you.
Oh, you want to stop with me? Okay.
I would like you to go first.
All right, I'll go first. I'm not afraid. My first tip, and these are in no particular order. I think I mentioned it the other week, and it's wear comfortable shoes. For folks who have not been to Las Vegas before, Las Vegas is a huge city. Blocks are enormous. These hotels are cities to themselves. So you are going to be doing a lot of walking. Even if you're attending panels where you're going to be sitting a fair amount of time, the hallways from your room to the elevator, then down and to the convention center, and if you want to go to dinner somewhere, these hotels and the city is just enormous. So you're going to be doing a lot of walking to get around. So, yes, you may have got these really cute sandals the other week at Payless, and you really want to show them off, but I guarantee they're not going to be comfortable. Make sure you wear comfortable shoes and good, clean, dry socks. That's my advice, comfortable shoes and dry sock.
All right. Thanks, Del. Those are really good tips to live by. You're obviously a man. Nobody wears socks in Vegas. So my tip one is actually screw the comfortable shoes.
Is it two snaps in a circle for you?
My thing is, you're in Vegas. If you want to wear those smoking heels that you can't wear anywhere else at home, you're going to Vegas. Wear them. Even if you can only wear them for 30 minutes, you know, the 30-minute shoes, you just take them off. Walk around barefoot. You can always change in your hotel room, which is not far. So, by all means, bring those cute sandals.
All right.
That's my first tip.
All right. My second tip was be prepared to spend money. Las Vegas is not cheap. I don't care who tells you it is, where they tell you, or when they tell you. Las Vegas is not cheap unless you are a high roller. And if you're one of those, prices don't matter anyways. A Coke and a bag of chips at the convenience store in the hotel is going to run you $6 or $7. It's just not a cheap city. Unless, of course, it is still a city, if you can get off the strip and go to the Piggly Wiggly and buy yourself a case of water, a lift of soda, something like that, snacks for the room. If you're going to expect to go out to dinner, expect to pay big bucks. This isn't going to be a McDonald's value meal that you're going to get in any of these hotels. They're just not that cheap. So I hear a lot of people say, oh, Vegas is a cheap destination. No, it isn't. Maybe if you're gambling, you can get free drinks. Yes. But when it comes to food and that sort of stuff, it's not cheap. That's my second point. Be prepared to spend money.
And that's good advice. My second tip actually is along the same lines. Don't be a cheapskate. There's always something really great at fanfare, like some commemorative book or original art that when you get there, you are going to covet and you are going to wish that you had money with you. Don't be cheap. Don't cheap out. Get it. If you don't get it, you're going to be very sad when it's not available anymore.
Yeah, that is a good thing. They do sell a lot of really good stuff there, especially in that market area at Fanfare.
Yeah, some of them are really cool. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And, you know, we all love this game. And, you know, maybe you're an EQ player. Maybe you're drawing a blank. What are the other games they do?
Star Wars Galaxies.
Thank you.
the agency Covert Ops or Taco. Buy a taco.
Taco.
Okay. My next tip, wear your geek on your sleeve. Listen, you went all this way. You've come to fanfare. You're at Sony's event. You play a computer game, and this is a convention about games. Feel free to be the geek that you are, you know. Don't be, oh, look at that guy. He's got a pocket protector for his pocket protector. You know what? We're all there. We're all playing a game. Don't be ashamed of it. Hang out. Talk to other people. Stick your hand out. Talk to them about what game they're playing, their server, their experiences, all that. This is it'll be over before you realize it, so you want to take as much advantage as you can while you're there. So don't be, oh, I don't want to hang out with those nerds or something like that. You're part of that crowd too. Hang out. Wear your costume if you want. If that's your thing, be ready to wear that. If you want to have a t-shirt about, you know, Battlestar Galactica or a Decepticon, wear that sort of stuff because you're amongst friends there. We're all fans of the Sony games. Hang out. Have a good time. Wear your geek on your sleeve. Don't be ashamed.
Right. And I have, don't be shy. Ask questions. Participate in the live event or the karaoke if they have it, which is fun.
I'll get up there and sing. You want me to sing? I'll do it right now in advance.
No. You could save it for fanfare. If you get up there, I want video.
You'll never find another love like mine. Boom, boom, boom. I'm sorry. This was your point, not my singing.
It is my point. So, right, do the live event, do karaoke. You don't want to have any regrets. Do fanfare like it's your last, because you don't know if you'll be back next year. Were you going to say something?
Oh, no. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I still regret not getting up and doing the live band karaoke when we were in Atlanta in 06. I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. I just kept drinking another drink. And finally, by the time I had enough guts to do it, the list was so long, the event would have been over by the time they got to my song.
That's a great tip, yeah.
Yeah, and if you're doing the live event and somebody cuts in front of you in line, be ballsy and tap them on the shoulder and shout at the top of your lungs, "The sage is camped."
Ah, yes. Our experiences at the live event last year. I think we rage quit, didn't we, at one point?
You rage quit.
That's true. Okay. It was me who rage quit. All
right. The rest of us tried to finish.
I didn't feel like camping.
I think half the group was off trying to find a drink, and the other half was standing there in line like a bunch of idiots.
So my next tip for fanfare was don't schedule other events while you're at fanfare. Participate in fanfare. And I guess what I'm talking about is don't buy tickets to a show. Don't make dinner reservations for an exact time, unless you really, really want to, because fanfare is such a dynamic, fluid event, and it is really a whirlwind. From the moment it starts to the moment it's over, there's so much going on, there's stuff to do. You want to stay kind of liquid. You want to be able to come and go, and if something comes up really that's really exciting, like you do decide, hey, I'm going to participate in the live event. Well, I've already scheduled this. Stay loosey-goosey. Don't commit to anything so that you can always, at a moment's notice, shift gears and do something else, because there's always something going on at fanfare. You know, you want to hang around and see people sing, like Allie says, up there on the karaoke night. That's a lot of fun. So if you've scheduled other things, like a fancy dinner at a restaurant or going tickets to a show somewhere in Vegas, I would say save that for another trip to Vegas. While you're at fanfare, as Allie was saying, do fanfare and do it upright. So make sure that fanfare is your focus, because I think it's easy to get distracted. Vegas is a big city. It has a lot of flashing lights and a lot of shiny things. So it's easy to get distracted. But keep your eyes on fanfare, because there's always going to be something new and exciting. And before you know it, it's going to be Saturday night and it's going to be over. And then it's going to be time to go home. That's my tip.
And stay away from the nickel slots.
That's right, because Dell will be at those.
They'll trick you.
Can't lose a lot of money when you're only spending nickels.
So my next tip is don't walk anywhere beyond maybe across the street. Vegas is freaking hot. It's not worth risking heat stroke. And anything you need, you can get indoors. And if you're drinking alcohol, be sure to drink a glass of water between rounds to stay hydrated. And I have a little hangover cure for you.
Okay.
Allie's hangover cure. One Advil liquid gel before bed with a full glass of water. And if you're still hungover in the morning, have waffles for breakfast. And after about 1 o'clock, you can have some hair of the dog. Rinse and repeat.
I like that. I got to say, although I don't necessarily have to be hungover to have waffles, can I just have them anyways?
Sure.
Excellent. Waffles.
But you want to wait for the hair of the dog until about 1 o'clock.
Okay.
You know. Then you're safe.
I was going to say, you are so right about the heat. I think last year, the daytime temperature when we were there, even the Vegas folks were saying it was hot because it was like in the 110 range. And that was
well, and you're talking about August now. Could we pick a hotter month to go to Vegas?
Yeah. It's cheap. That's the thing. It's cheap this time of year, so.
Right, which is why we stay indoors and we just sit at the bar.
And if you're at Fanfare, there's no reason to go outside. I think last time I was there, I didn't go outside other than to realize, oh my God, it's so hot, I'm going back in.
All the more reason to bring your cute sandals because you don't have to walk anywhere.
All right.
And they're taxis. Come on now. That's why they made taxis. So you don't have to walk.
My next tip, stolen from the Boy Scouts, is be prepared. Look over the schedule of events beforehand. Highlight those can't-miss sessions that you want to go to. Get things like your guildmates' phone numbers and text messages and all that stuff beforehand so you're not trying to do that at the last moment. Get that pre-programmed into your cell phone now, not the night before you're ready to leave when you realize your cell phone is dead. Make sure you write down, print out, and put in your luggage the list of questions that you want to make sure that you ask the devs. Don't say, oh, I'll remember to ask that because you'll forget about it or you'll get distracted or something like that. Write it all down beforehand and bring it. Print out your plane tickets and all that sort of stuff for the kiosk in advance and make sure. This is something a lot of folks overlook, I think. Make sure you have extra room in all that luggage of yours to bring back all the swag that you have that you're going to get. Don't pack your bags like me full of all those really cute pairs of sandals that you may or may not wear.
And Free Realms cards.
And Free Realms cards. Oh, my God, do I remember that?
That took up a huge chunk of my luggage. I had to put that in my husband's luggage.
Make sure you have room in all those bags to bring back all the swag that you're going to get because you are going to probably get a T-shirt and handouts and stuff like that. So you want to be able to fit that in your luggage and be able to bring it home with you. Be prepared.
All right. My last tip, don't plan anything. Fly by the seat of your pants. There's plenty of stuff going on, and if you have to choose between panels, you'll be sad. So just go where the wind blows you. If a particular panel isn't quite your cup of tea, don't feel bad for getting up and leaving quietly and checking out a different session.
Absolutely. That is good. That is a good advice as well, because there are so many panels, and I have to say I do like what they do now. It's something they've been doing for the past few years, is kind of tracks. They have all the EQ2 sessions in one room. They have all the SWIG stuff in another and Free Realms in another. So that you can, if you're really only interested in playing or attending sessions about one particular game, because maybe that's the only game you're playing right now, you can go to all the sessions for that. They don't have overlapping sessions, usually about the same topic. So you can follow the EQ2 track or the Star Wars Galaxy track or the Free Realms track and get in all about that game if you want. I think that's a great thing that they've done.
Well, I kind of wish they split it up a little more, personally, because last year I had this problem with the... I think we both had this problem. We were going to go to the screening of Evercracked, but they were having the Free Realms panel, the Free Realms training card game panel.
Yes.
Which we both played, past tense.
Mm.
And this year I'm looking at the panels and there are all kinds of things that I'd like to go to. I mean, I kind of asterisk things as if I'm going, but I'm not. I would have a major problem with some of these time slots picking which one to go to.
Yeah, I've already looked over some of the schedule and there are some things like, oh, I'd like to go to both of these. So you kind of got to make the hard choice and decide which one you're going to go to. I'll probably side for more of the EQ2 stuff myself personally.
And but I mean, there's, say, for example, let's just really quick get specific.
Okay.
On Friday at 11 o'clock, there is the EverQuest 2 track, as you call it. That topic is the new EverQuest 2 expanded, free to play, quote unquote. that's in one location.
Okay.
But then there's also behind the scenes with SOE artists, which on any other day, I would go to that because that seems really interesting. You know, there's an LON panel also. I mean, does anybody actually just play LON and not EQ2 or some other game?
Maybe, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the trading card games as much, especially LON. But if it wasn't going head to head with EQ2 Extended, I probably would go to the LON session because, you know, it's interesting to see some of the new loot or some of the game mechanics that they're coming up with and how it interfaces or the lore, how that's going to tie into the live game. But you're right, sometimes it's tough to make these decisions about conflicting panels going on at the same time.
And then the same time, there's the SOE podcast crew is doing a panel as well. Is it a panel or is it? No, it's everybody. It's the podcast panel. That's at the same time. I mean, how can anyone decide these things? I don't know.
Well,
I guess you have to pick, but I mean, I probably would side with the EQ2 panel, but it's tough.
Sometimes
you want to check out other games or you want to check out other things.
Sometimes tough choices have to be made.
I suppose that is true.
It is fanfare after all.
Right. What, like, do you want blueberry or strawberry on your waffles?
I'm going to say strawberry.
Whipped cream?
Yes.
Or maple syrup?
Both.
Or both?
Both. And can I get a side of blueberries, too?
You know what? Are you going to get a side of bacon? Side of bacon goes with everything.
No, I'm going to say no to the side of bacon. I will take a full plate of bacon. Bacon does not deserve to be treated as a side dish. It is a meal to itself.
I'll have the bacon entree, please.
I'll tell you, the day somebody puts that on the menu, I am so going to that restaurant, the bacon entree. All right, so what do we have next?
We could go on all day with this bacon nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon's awesome. Well, did you want to talk about any of the panels? I mean, there's some other great things. There are the giveaways. There are, you know, they're doing this thing for the first time with the platinum, gold, and is there a silver?
I think there is. Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting this year. I don't think we've really seen that before this, I guess you'd call it tiering of attendees.
I have a theory.
Okay. What's your theory?
There were too many people last year, and they maybe are trying to limit how many people are in a particular room for fire safety reasons, maybe?
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe to give people a more positive experience instead of having so many lines.
Yeah, I think, you know, you make a good point there where something like fanfare, obviously they want to include as many people as possible, but when you have such a large crowd, you lose that feeling of individuality. You start to feel like just a head of cattle. You know, this crowd. And you don't get that, you know, not necessarily one-on-one time, but you have that even less, the opportunity of that less, because it's such the large crowd. So maybe by limiting people, or limiting the amount of attendees, they're able to kind of keep that feeling of small and intimate event, as opposed to just this ginormous gathering of people.
Hey, Del, did you just moo?
I might have.
I think you need to make a sound clip of that.
Well, that's the herd. That's the cows.
That was pretty good.
All right.
I think I want my tinkered cows to make that sound.
I dare not do it again because I fear I'll never do it as well if I did do it that well.
You're really going to have to make a clip of that and make it available on the website. We can have a sound effect button. And you can download sound effects and make them ringtones. Is that beyond our capability?
You know what? Hey,
am I promising too much?
And you know what? You can download it for $2.99. The Delmon Moo ringtone app. Or 500 station cash. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there.
EQ2 talk cash.
Do we have our own currency?
We might. It.
We need our own currency. Download the podcast for $250. EQ2 cash.
EQ2 talk cash, tell.
What did I say?
Said EQ2 cash.
All right, fair enough.
Man, are you ever going to learn the name of this show?
Probably not. Well, I originally wanted to call it Delmon.
Del Alley.
Well, I just want. Well, you were a tossing. It was originally just Delmon.
Oh, wait, really?
Del Talk.
Just Delmon. Just Delmon.
All right, should we turn to our next topic?
Do we have another topic?
We do, or a segment. We don't have a topic. I guess it's a new segment.
Right. Well, it's not really new. It's like a phoenix from the ashes. We have. Are you? It's not a phoenix.
Oh. I don't know what sound a phoenix makes.
I'm sure right. That's not. A phoenix is a graceful, beautiful creature.
Everything.
We have. Are you? Everything. We have. Are you? Oh my god.
What do we have?
Are you smarter than it's Delmon?
I think I am, actually.
Let's find out.
All right. So, what is Are You Smarter Than Delmon? It's a little bit of a trivia game we've cooked up.
Yep.
Allie has, you have two categories of questions, right?
Yes.
And you haven't shared those with me. And so she's going to share those with me in a moment, and I'm going to pick the one that I think I can best answer.
Right. And we have a little twist.
We do have a twist. Once I choose the category, I get to decide whether I want normal mode or challenge epic times 4 mode.
Well, we're just calling it challenge mode, I think.
Okay.
I'm not so sure it's epic times 4.
If I get it right, will it drop exquisite for me?
I have no prizes for you.
Oh, that's kind of a bummer. Lousy itemization of EQ2 talk. All right.
So, maybe in the next patch.
Right. Don't worry, we'll fix that in the next game update. Next podcast update. Whoops.
Right.
All right. So, Allie, what are the categories for Are You Smarter Than a Delmon?
We have Ringer.
Winger? Winger, the 1980s hair band?
No, Ringer.
Oh, Ringer, okay.
And Tinkerfest.
I'm going to go with Tinkerfest.
Feast.
Because I just did it, so I'm hoping it's fresh in my memory.
It's Tinkerfest.
Oh, Tinkerfest. Oh, okay, I'll take Tinkerfest.
Are you sure about that now?
Yes, Alex.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, Regis.
Okay, are you ready for your very first regurgitated Are You Smarter Than a Delmon question?
Yes, at what point do I have to go normal or challenge mode?
Oh, good question. Well, why don't you pick now? I think, you know, because really in a zone, you have to pick before you start, right?
That's true. I'm going to say, because this is the first, I just want to dip my toes in and get a feel for it. So this will just be a test pull. So
all right.
I'm going to go with normal mode.
All right. We're going to go
or as I like
mode.
To say, easy.
Easy chicken mode.
Yeah, chicken mode.
All right. Your category is Tinkerfest. There are 12, that I know of, Tinker Dumbfire pets that can be used against mobs in an encounter. Name 6 of them.
Okay, hold on. www.
Do we have cheating?
Cheating mode? No. I believe one of them is you can catapult cows, can't you?
What's the name of it?
Oh, I have to give the exact name?
Yes.
Oy vey.
Or something close.
It's like a cowapult, isn't it, or something?
Well, I'm going to give you that one because it's Clockwork Cow Catapult.
Okay, all right. There's a turkey one, too, isn't there? I don't know its exact name.
Can you take a guess?
Clockwork Tinkered Turkey Pult.
Close. You got the Tinkered Turkey. The Tinkered Turkey Launcher.
Turkey Tinkle. Tinky Tinkle. Tinkle, all right.
Tinkered.
It. I'm not even going to try it. Tinkered turkey pult?
Launcher.
Launcher, okay. And that's where I think I've already run out of ideas. I got to get 4 more of them?
Yes. Aren't you a tinkerer, max tinkerer?
I am a max tinkerer, but I have to say, of all the stuff I've ever made, I just made it so I could level. I sold it instantly.
Oh, those are the most fun. And Dell, you can launch them at epic mobs now. That was the best change I've seen in I don't know how long. We are always launching cows and turkeys and everything we can pull out of our pockets.
What else? What else?
At rate bombs.
For example, what else would you maybe launch at it during a raid encounter?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you that because you're still playing.
Okay, I thought I could slide it in there. All right, turkeys, cows. Let's. I'm trying to think of other things in game that would that are animals that we can launch. Frog is badgers or beavers on there?
You're just.
I'm just guessing animals that are in Intonica. Yes, wolves, elephants. I got to be honest. I'm completely stumped at this point. So I feel like I'm going to wipe on my first normal pull mode.
That's very sad.
It is sad. This segment was a complete bust, huh?
Well, did you want lifelines? I mean, you didn't.
Yeah. How about a hint? Give me a hint.
Okay.
I need four more. How about give me the?
I forgot to write ins.
How about give me four? The first letter of four of them.
You want me to choose?
Sure.
The first letter?
Yes. Of the animal.
Oh, of the animal. M.
M. Moose. Next.
Come on. Really? There are no mooses?
Meese. You almost said meese, didn't you? Mouse?
There are no mooses in EQ2.
There should be. Okay, I'm drawing a blank on M. Give me the next one. This is getting painful.
S.
Snake.
All right.
Tinkered snake, is that right?
Oh, you are so lame. I can't believe you. Wow. We're
going
to have to build in lifelines, I think.
Okay.
Maybe I need better hints. It's called an iron snake basket.
Okay, that's close. I'm going to give myself credit for that.
No, you got a hint.
Oh,
that's that... so... You wiped already. You're on your third bot.
All right. S, give me another letter.
Well, they're not all animals.
Oh, well, then that doesn't help, huh?
Well, see, if you were a real tinkerer, you would be playing with these things. They're hilarious.
I'm not a real tinkerer. I am a tinkerer because it was something that I could max out. Tinkering, I only took it after we got it in Sentinel's Fate. I originally was a transmuter.
I know, but you know what? You should take out the little toys and play with them on the little, what do you call it? The dummy, the training dummy. And just look at, they're fun. Don't you have a sense of humor? What happened to the Dell that used to watch cartoons?
Well, I mean, I found humor in There's No Place Like 127.0.0.1.
Okay, well, that's cute.
All right.
But they're funny.
What was
they're
the fun. M one?
It's a monkey.
Monkey.
Wind up golden monkey, and he's so cute.
All right. What were the other ones then, seeing I've already wiped and...
Well, we have the gnomish cyclone generator of ultimate evil.
I would have never gotten that, even with all the letters.
An awesome name. What's an awesome name? Spider on a string.
I do remember that, though. Spider on a string.
The iron snake basket.
Yep.
Mist generator, which doesn't really appear... I don't know. Maybe I got to play with it some more. The wind-up golden monkey we already talked about. Clockwork manservant. It's a little tiny clockwork that beats on the mob. Then we have the jar of spiders.
All right.
Just kind of swarming. The go-fasta pocket cyclone, which is a little spinny tornado. The turkey launcher you got. The cow catapult you got. Typhoon-o-matic generator. Another sort of storm thing. And then I think my number one favorite, the BFC 3000.
I do remember BFC because I made a few of those while leveling. Yes.
You know what the BFC stands for?
I do not remember.
Big flying cephalopod. And it's exactly that. It's a big flying cephalopod. But it's funny.
What is a cephalopod?
What do you call it? An octopus type of thing.
Very good. Well, that didn't go as well as I thought it was going to, huh?
Well, do you want to know what challenge mode would have been?
Yes, but do I have to answer it?
No.
Okay, good.
Normal mode was name six of them. Challenge mode was name all 12.
Oh, forget about that. Oh,
is that too hard?
That was way too hard. Yes, Allie, I need questions like what is the name of the game? What is your email address?
Oh, we're going to have problems because I already have at least four more. I mean, I have the alternate question you didn't pick. And then I have at least three more in the wings that are probably, well, maybe there's one easy one in there.
Well, I'll come back next time bigger, stronger, smarter.
And prepared.
And prepared, yes. And ready to do battle and prove that I am smarter than you.
Oh, that's not the name of the segment.
And we also, can we say this too? We invite listeners to send in questions too.
Yes, if you can spell Delmon's email address. Well, you don't want to spell Talmon's email address. You want to spell Allie's email address.
Send them to me anyways.
That's going to have to be edited out.
So, yes, we invite listeners to send in emails to take a shot at seeing whether or not they are smarter than a Delmon. And trust me, if you've just listened to this segment, it's really not that hard.
That's right. So you can send me an email at alicious@eq2talk.com, and my name is spelled just like it sounds, A-L-I-S-C-I-O-U-S.
All right. Did we have anything else for this week?
No, I think we should let people get back to their laundry.
Yeah.
Or whatever they're doing.
Their laundry or their trade skilling or Hopefully they're listening to us in a plane on their way to Las Vegas for Fenfare 2010 at the luxurious Bally's of Las Vegas.
And I'm sure they have their stilettos in the suitcase.
You know I will. All right, so while you're mulling that over, hey, let's say thank you to all five of our listeners.
And especially to Baloo of the Everfrost server,
yes.
Indebup of the Nectaril server, and Spiders of Luke and Delaire for giving us a little bit of feedback.
Yes, we also want to say thank you to this week's sponsor, Continental Airlines, a Star Alliance member with over 2,500 daily departures to 134 domestic and 131 international destinations. Continental Airlines, we really move our tail for you. So if you have any comments, suggestions, feedback, suggestions for Are You Smarter Than Delmon, have tips about fanfare that you want to share with us, you can reach out to us. So for me, that's you can send me, Delmon, an email. So that's Delmon@eq2talk.com.
And I'm alicious@eq2talk.com.
And if you want to catch us in-game, that's eq2.unrest.delmon, D-E-L-L-M-O-N.
And I'm at eq2.unrestalicious.
All right, do we have anything else?
And don't forget, if you see Del at Fanfare, make sure to ask him if you can borrow a dollar.
See you all next time, and say goodnight, Allie.
Goodnight, Allie.